And so I'm here tonight to talk about improv. And storytelling will be next time. But I'm here to talk about improv, to talk about the history of improv, to talk about the what if you go to improv now, what to expect, what you might do. And then finally, how you too can go to see improv. So how did it start? What is it now? How can I get my hands on the sweet, sweet improv? So we're going to start with history. This is my third time during Nerd Night. And I've talked about history both times I've been here. So we got to start with history. And one could argue that we've been improvising since the day that cave people discovered that they could talk, right? No one's born with a script. We all have to just improv, make it up as we go. To wit, I'm a teacher, and my last day is tomorrow, thank God, at least for the summer. I mean, I'll be back in the fall, but I'm in the suburbs, and it sucks. And so my boss was in my office the other day, and she said something. And if there had been a script, the only possible response to what she said would have been, why don't you go fuck yourself? Because it was so ridiculous. But I had to improv, and so I improvised, and I'm like, oh, that's the best idea ever. Oh my God, I'll totally do that next year. A person who's never had a teaching degree and has no clue. So that was just improvising as in everyday life, right? Improvising as an art was first recorded hundreds of years ago. It started with this thing called comedia in Europe in the 15 and 1600s, when people would dress up like that and poke each other with, well, I don't know if they'd poke each other, but they would go from town to town, literally just show up in a town square and start acting and just creating this art. Which is, if you read post-apocalyptic books like I do, that's like what always, there's always like the ragged like troop that just goes from like settlement camp to settlement camp doing plays. And that's what was happening hundreds of years ago in Europe as people were doing this. And that is how, that was the first recorded instance of what we now would think of as improv. And sadly, it all kind of went away until last century, the 1900s, when the two people behind me, that's Keith Johnstone on the left and Viola Spolin on the right, they, independent of each other, resurrected this art. Keith Johnstone was a professor in Canada, and he was studying the whole idea of spontaneity, and at the same time, he looked around and said, theater is really exclusive. It's expensive. It's kind of, I want to make theater that's accessible to the boxing fan, the hockey fan, the soccer fan. And so what he did is he set up this thing called theater sports, where he would divide people into teams, and you would do these spontaneous games, and you would get points from judges. And the audience members were encouraged to clap and yell and scream and throw things and like diss the judges and like get all, you know, just like a boxing match or a hockey game or soccer, whatever. And it went over very well. And some of what he used, he got from Viola Spolin, who I think is just lovely. I think she just looks like an old-timey movie star. She was a teacher in the 1920s and realized that people in general, and kids in particular, would learn better if things were fun, okay? And now, like, everything has to be fun in the classroom and all that. But back then, it wasn't really, like, you had your little slate board. It wasn't really a lot of fun. And Viola developed a bunch of games for teaching and learning. And fortunately, her son, yes, Paul Sills, remembered these games when he was a grown-up. And he was living in Chicago in the 1950s. And what are some things we think of when we think of the 1950s? Anything fun? Like, what do we, like, we think of, like, not, like, nothing fun, right? But thank God, so, sorry, no offense, 1950s people. But it wasn't a whole lot of fun. Except Paul Sills was like, you know what, screw that. He had some fun friends, and he said, we're going to get together, and we're going to start this thing called the Compass Players. That is one of their flyers on the left. And it actually says a new kind of entertainment. And these folks would get up. They had a space. They got up there and they improvised. They just made shit up. And people came to see them and paid them money. And they eventually evolved into the Second City. It has been around since 1959, almost 60 years, which is pretty amazing. I mean, that is really incredible. If you've not seen them, we went there on our honeymoon last year. It was awesome. So that's pretty much what got us to where we are today in the world of improv, were these groups. So Now, if you were to go to an improv studio or whatever, what would you expect to see? What you would see would pretty much be what they were doing back in the 50s and 60s. Not a lot has changed. There are still two main forms of improv. Kids, do not Google long and short on Google image search, because you will not like what you find. This is about the least offense. It kind of looks like dicks, but it's not dicks, it's carrots. So I'm like, well, I'll use that. So that's what we got. So long form and short form, improv. If you've seen, okay, so what's a TV show you think of when I say improv? Whose Line? Okay, no offense, you know, if Whose Line got you into improv, that's awesome, I applaud that. The problem is I have too many people saying, I hate improv, and I'm like, why? Oh my God. And they're like, I hate that Wayne Brady show. And I'm like, well, Wayne Brady, okay, that's kind of the problem there. So I hope he's not here. Hope like his mom isn't here. Sorry, Mrs. Brady. If you've seen Whose Line, you've seen short form improv. Very quick games. Very, very, you know, just boom, boom, boom. Okay, a couple weeks ago, I was playing a short form game called Slogans Heroes, where you stand in a line, the audience calls out a product, and you have to stand up there and say the slogan that should be, right? So it's a 2-second thing. Well, the one they called out was Hellman's Mayonnaise. So what do you think? You know, if you have a dirty mind like me, if you're 12, you know, you think of something when you think of Hellman's Mayonnaise. Well, no one was saying it. So finally, I went up there and I'm like, Hellman's Mayonnaise looks like spooge, tastes like ass. And that just opened the floodgates and we went very dark very quickly. But it's a very, very quick 2-second taste. You know, so that's what a short form improv skit would be. You just are standing in a line and your teammates are clapping and yay, and it's very quick. Long form, if you've seen Second City, you've seen long form. It's two or more folks doing a skit. Could be 5 minutes, could be 35 minutes, could be 15. There could be a game in the skit, but that's pretty much what it is. It's people doing a scene. The audience might call it a suggestion. So if you go to do improv, now I do have to go back, they will tell you there are no rules, son. There are no rules in improv. And they are and they're not. I mean, there's guidelines in improv, and I just picked 5 ones that I really think apply to improv and apply to real life. And the first one you probably all know, it's two little words. Yes, and, yes. Now I gotta go for it again. So yes, and is a state of mind in improv. You don't have to literally say, oh, yes, and, you can, you don't have to. It's like, it's just a state of mind. So when a cop asks you what state do you live in, you say state, the yes and state. And then you'll get out of your ticket, I promise. So, but yes, and the idea of yes, and is that your partner, your scene partner, is going to give you something. And you want to take that idea that she gave you and build on it. And that's the yes and the and. So, for example, okay, if you're doing a sketch and there's two people and your host or your coach says, okay, let's get an example of a location. And let's get a, what's an example of a location? Beach. Thank you, beach. Okay, so beach. So in the 10 seconds between my brain processing the word beach and bleach, that would be good too, I guess. That would be the product one, right? My brain maybe plucks something out of the sky, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this scene that we're on the beach, and we've just broken up, and we're both really awkward, and that's, but my partner speaks first, okay? My partner says, all right, honey, let's try not to shit all over the beach this time. Oh, now she's given me something. Okay, she set the scene. What do we know? We know that she's my parent, that I'm a younger kid, and I got a bowel problem. Okay, great. So what you don't want to do, you don't want to say, what are you talking about? You're my girlfriend. I just broke up with you. Why are you telling me not to shit on the beach? That would be a no. We don't want it. That would be against the state of mind that we're in. You want to say, okay, mom, I'm really sorry. I already went to the bathroom, but before we go back to school for the talent show, I have to pee. Or something like that. Something that you've accepted it. You've taken, we call it gifts, not GIF, G-I-F-T-S, gifts. We call it gifts as in presents. And she gave me this scene. She said, okay, here's where we're going to go. We're going to talk about you know, scat, feces, whatever. That's going to be part of it. And then I gave back, we have to get back to school for the talent show. Now we have something to talk about. Okay. If I was like, what are you, we just broke up. Where are you going to go? I mean, from that. Now you might get like a guffaw from the drunk guy way in the back, might be like, yeah, you know, but you have nowhere to go. She's uncomfortable. Everyone's like, oh my God. So the idea of yes and is you're going to take that notion. I'll use my lovers broke up another time, or maybe never. Who knows? It doesn't matter. But I've taken what she gave me, and I've built on it. Which leads us to the next. It's a no pimping zone. Do not pimp out your partner. And by pimp out your partner, what that means is what I just said, saying no. What are you? You know, if your partner makes it the spaceship, you're on a spaceship, okay? Even if it's if the beach is a suggestion, but we're on a she puts us on a spaceship, you're on a spaceship, okay? If you know that your partner, like, I can't do accents to save my life. Like, any accent I do just devolves into Mario, and like, let's go, and that's where I end up. And last week, I actually, somebody made me be Mario, like, not knowing that, and I was like, oh, cool, I can do that. But if you wanted to pimp me out, because you're a dick, you'd be like, here's my friend from Scotland, here to tell us all about the new scotches. And I'd be like, oh, shit, I can't do an accent. It's going to be Mario, talk about the scotch. I don't know scotches from anything, okay, right? And now I'm in a really, but you've put me in a box. Where do I go? Okay. And if you're really experienced, you can probably make it work, maybe possibly, but it's uncomfortable. Like I was watching a tryout, and the person was new. She didn't know, but she said that her partner was Abraham Lincoln at the school for career day. And the guy, all he knew of Abraham Lincoln was 4 score and 7 years ago. For like 10 minutes, he kept saying 4 score and 7 years ago. And it ended up being kind of funny, but it was kind of like, oh my God, what if, I mean, like I was doing a skit with someone who honestly didn't know who Dick Cheney was. And that didn't go, I'm like, who the hell doesn't know what the evilest man ever, like, really? You don't like it? Really? Okay. So it kind of puts you in a bad spot. And that is pimping out. Good advice for life. Don't pimp out your other people. Another good advice, unless you're a pimp, then you know, you will, but good advice for life is to be honest. Your honest reaction in improv is going to be funnier than if you go for the joke. And in fact, if you read books on improv like I do, it'll say don't go for the joke. You don't gotta be funny, okay? You think it's funny because you've seen Second City and it is funny, but the laughs you get are from the things you just react. So I was doing this really, one of my favorite games is, on the line, where you're on a line and you keep switching characters. And then they ring a bell and you have to go back and remember your character, like 4 different characters. And my partner made us be on a fish line, like for Catholic Church fish fry. And I'm like, cool, okay. And then I had to go be someone else. And as I was walking to her other side, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the parolee who's angry and bitter because I got to cut fucking fish as my parole. And so my scene partner's like, oh my God, I'm 8 months along and I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. And I looked at her and my honest reaction was, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then she's like, oh, it's gonna be my 9th kid. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't you know how to give a blowjob? And that was my God's honest response, as it would be to any of you nice people who came up and said, I have 10 kids. You don't need a quiverful, really, you don't. And so then we went down the dark and dirty path of BJ's, and we ended up having a great little moment there, and it was great. But I had these like Catholic jokes in my head that I could have pulled out, but that was my God's honest reaction. And it went over very well. It led to a lovely little interaction that she and I had and had a great time. But I think it's good, you know, it's good in real life too, to give your honest, right? Don't go for the joke. Give your honest opinion. everything I've said has led up to the fact this is a team sport. Our old-timey guys in their uniforms, they were a team. You're a team on improv. If you're like me, you cannot swing a bat. You literally cannot bounce a basketball because it does not come back up when you hit it. If you can't do anything athletic, I've never been on a team until improv. So I think it's great for kids and people like who are middle-aged, Jewish, kind of big, fat, fatter, plump women who maybe can't run very well at all. And you can be on a team. But part of being on a team is that you can't be up there with your team being like, look at me, oh my God, I got this great thing. You know, you can't, because no one's going to like you, and no one's going to want to do a scene with you, and you're going to have no friends, and it's going to be really sad. But you have to, like, you have to make your partners look good. If you want to do the monologue, if you want to be, do stand up. I think stand up, I have the more respect for stand up comedians. I think that's the hardest job, other than, like, Compton substitute teacher. I don't know, something, you know, is probably harder. But I think it's hard. I mean, do it. Go for it. Be it. But in improv, you are a team, and you have to support your team, and you have to clap, even if they say the stupidest thing, which we all have. And speaking of stupid things, never fear the stupid thing. This is really cheeseball. There are no mistakes, just happy accidents. But in improv, there are no accidents. I was in a scene where someone was a dog, and she was like on her and like and panting, and one of us, we forgot she was a dog and just started talking to her like she was a person. So she was like, oh, okay, I'll talk people talk now. And it was awesome. And I've been in scenes where we give each other the wrong name. There was one, it was a 35-minute long scene on a submarine, and we all forgot the name. So by the end, we're like, I'm Jim, Jack, Bob, Bill. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it's just, you make it work. So if you're thinking of improv, don't feel like, oh God, I'm going to get up there and make a mistake. They're going to hate me. No. It's going to be awesome. This is not Shakespeare, okay? You don't have to worry about, oh my God, I missaid that word. They're going to hate me. No. It's going to, there are no mistakes in improv, okay? You can do it. It'll be awesome. And hopefully this talk has inspired you to want to have some fun. So my Samantha Fox fans from 1988, does anyone know her other song? Naughty Girls. Need Love Too. Okay, I don't have 80s fans in the audience. Okay, but hopefully you want to have fun doing improv, and you're very lucky because we have amazing improv right here in Ann Arbor. The Civic Theater, very close to here, has Troops, Short Form, CSI Ann Arbor. They do the games. Long Form, it's called Dearly Beloved. They do the sketches. And then the troupe I'm sort of in is Luxury Possum. They changed rehearsal dates to Tuesday, and I have dance class on Tuesday. So I can't go, but I'm kind of in it. Anyway, they are performing a showcase tomorrow and Saturday and next Friday and next Saturday at the Carriage House Theater. And I really highly recommend going. They're amazingly funny. And they have jams. They have comedy jams at the Civic Theater. They have tryouts from time to time. Also, I highly recommend Pointless Brewery. Has anyone been to Pointless Brew Pub? Isn't it like, it's so fun. The beer is great. They have shows. They have two shows on the weekends. They do jams on Sundays. They have kids, all this kind of stuff. And it's really good beer. It's a great, great place. If you can leave the bubble of Ann Arbor, go east, try the Planet Ant. I've not been there, but I've heard it's really good. And Go Comedy in Ferndale is amazing. And they have classes you can take. Pointless has classes you can take as well. Very fun. How I got started was Meetup, which everyone probably has heard of. When I realized I needed a hobby, I was like, all right, I went to Meetup and I Googled improv, and I do one that's every other Sunday called Let's Make a Scene. It is the nicest people. If you want to try it, please join us. It's $5, free to watch at this little theater in Livonia. It is so much fun. The host is like the nicest person. No one, I mean, everybody will be like, you're friendly and they're the laugh, and it'll be so much fun. There's other improv groups. I've not been to them, so I can't speak to them, but if you go to Meetup and you look up improv, you will find an awesome group. And you will, and literally, you will never see the same thing twice. You will never do the same thing twice in improv. I love theater. It's a great art, but improv is an art. I mean, even if it's the same players, the same suggestion, it's not going to be the same scene. You're not the same person, right? It's like the river is not the same river 2 days later, right? And it's like you're not the same person. So you're literally seeing a one-of-a-kind piece of art. I mean, I think it's just really amazing. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to do. You can say things in improv you can't really say in real life, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't you know? You know, you'll get your face slapped or punched. So you can like blow off steam and it'll be a lot of fun. So I want to thank you very much. I'm about to go improv myself drinking a beer. So don't tell my doctor if she shows up. But if there are any questions, I won't have answers, but I'll make something up. So if there's questions, I'm happy to take any questions about improv. So, okay. All right. So I'm going to go drink. So thank you very much. I hope you get lots of improv.